For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reith. On Sunday afternoon, Pebbles Trippett and Brian Applegarth sat next to a sign that read, Outlaws of the 20th Century, Rum Runners and Pot Farmers. They were at the Kelly House Museum to talk about the pioneers of pot and their work to end prohibition. I got a guided tour of the current exhibit to put the talk in some context.
I'm Ann Cooper. I'm the curator here at the Kelly House, and the exhibit is titled Outlaws of the 20th Century, Rum Runners and Pot Farmers.
What prompted you to pair those two things?
We have this culture that relates to cannabis up here, and we also had the, to us, obvious parallels between prohibition of cannabis and prohibition during the 1920s, that is the prohibition that's really taught in schools and is known historically and associated with Al Capone and people like Babyface Nelson, who was apparently up here. And there's also this geography and topography of Mendocino County and the rugged coasts, and it's kind of ideal for smuggling. So all of that came together.
Well, let's take the tour.
The exhibit was designed so that we could have both sides of the story told, the side of alcohol and its prohibition, which only lasted for about 13 years, and then the side of marijuana and the prohibition against that, which, as Pebbles pointed out, has been going on for many decades.
And it looks like you have some panels from oral history projects, which are very near and dear to my heart.
People aren't out there taking pictures of, you know, cases of rum being loaded onto dories and the dories brought onto the beach. So very few visual pieces that we could use from the archives. So I had to rely on stories. One of the things that we also have is an oral history by Albert Penitenti, who was a Fort Bragg native. This was about how people would be arrested for bootlegging, and then they would be brought before the judge at the county, usually in Ukiah, and then a fine would be levied against them, and then they'd go right back out to bootlegging further. So there was a little bit of a double standard, I guess, that I discovered in the prohibition of alcohol versus the prohibition of marijuana, in that alcohol just was really much more accepted. It was much more mainstream part of the society. And so people were fined, yes, but they weren't put in jail necessarily unless they couldn't pay the fine.
I'd like to read one paragraph from this oral history by Albert Kit Penitenti. He says, oh, the sheriff would come in from Ukiah. We had maybe one local sheriff here, but he couldn't watch everybody bootlegging. They'd catch a bootlegger that was selling booze, and they'd go before the judge, and the judge would fine him $500, and he'd pay the $500. And I don't know where the $500 went to, and nobody else did. They wouldn't put him in jail, so he'd go back to his bootlegging joint, and he'd continue bootlegging. They'd give him a month or two to accumulate $400 or $500, and then they'd nab him again and put him before the judge and fine him again. That's what they did with most of them.
The exhibit also features a still, which was used in Lake County but belongs to someone local. So here it is at the Kelly House with some vintage dresses and old comic strips about pot.
The still is well punctured by the sheriff, and it comes from a cabin on Trout Creek on the way to Pillsbury Lake.
And it looks like the holes were punched in there with a pickaxe or something. It wasn't shot up.
No, it doesn't look like it was shot up. I'm picturing some kind of square spike-like instrument. But yeah, they were very serious about putting holes in this still.
Pebbles Trippett also knows the value of a good story. She told a few as we sat on the couch in the Dab Lounge at Leonard Moore Cooperative after the event. I asked her about something she said during the talk.
Well, it sounds like you've had a huge effect on the cannabis movement yourself through legal challenges and activism. And at your talk, you mentioned that you're starting to shift your focus towards preserving the culture of cannabis. So can you talk a little bit about where your focus is going to go from here on?
Here I go again. All of this politics has made no difference. All of this work that we put into these nuanced definitions has reaped no gain for our community. And that's why it seems to me that we should withdraw a considerable energy from that pressure to creating our own inner community, strengthen our culture. Don't be running after them all the time with something that isn't going to materialize anyway. They're regulating us without us. That's not even savvy. And no one in this community, in the Mendo community, in the Humboldt community, looks pretty much the same, is prepared to move forward in prime time. Because we are adversaries.
What kinds of cultural activities do you think will shift that paradigm a little bit?
Having gatherings where there's music and good vibes. And I think that will start the process of wooing us away from the addiction of running after politicians trying to get them to change. I think they need to be running after us to say, well, now, what was your program now? What was your plank on this? We don't have that quite yet. That's why we're asking them, hey, why don't you come up with something? And they haven't, and they're not going to. And so we must.
I'll share more of my interview with Pebbles Trippett later this week. For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Wright.